This podcast is produced by the Fireside Chat Club of Canada.
Hello, and welcome to Canada as I See It. Hello, and welcome to the show. I've gained a few more voices for the introduction to the podcast, and this week I'd like to thank Agnes for introducing the show. Thank you so much, Agnes. I do appreciate it. If you would like to introduce this program, please send a recording of you saying, "This podcast is produced by the Fireside Chat Club of Canada." And do it any way you like, whether it be through Facebook Messenger or if you want to use the voice recorder app on your phone. And you can send it to me, James Warpole, through Facebook Messenger if you'd like, or you can email it to me at asiit@warpole.ca. I generally like to keep the podcast light, and this week is not going to be that way. There are a few points that I want to touch on, and unfortunately, they are all not on the lighter side. Today is April 28th, and in Canada, this is known as the National Day of Mourning, and it's dedicated to remembering those who have lost their lives, suffered injury or illness on the job, or experienced a work-related tragedy. Now, obviously, I did read that, and actually, before I go much further, I'd like to acknowledge a few sites that are going to help me with this today. First is ccohs.ca. That is the Canadian Center for Occupational Health and Safety. I'd also like to thank, the City of Vernon, BC, vernon.ca. They helped me out a bit today. And of course, everyone's favorite online friend, wikipedia.org. They are going to help a little bit with what I'm going to tell you about today. The Canadian Labour Congress first recognized the Day of Mourning in 1984, and in 1990, this day became a national observance with the passing of the Workers' Mourning Day Act. And further to that, on this date, April 28th in 1991, the federal government officially proclaimed the National Day of Mourning. Today, over 100 countries mark this date. However, Canada was the first nation to recognize this date. Traditionally on this date, the Canadian flag flies at half-mast on Parliament Hill and all federal buildings. Employers and workers do observe the Day of Mourning, and this might include things like laying candles, wreaths, wearing commemorative pins, ribbons, black armbands, and pausing for a moment of silence, as is the tradition with another date, Remembrance Day. This moment of silence is generally observed at 11 a.m., and some workplaces have actually begun to playing videos in the workplace honoring those who have died or suffered injury at their location and nationally. Of course, with everything like this, there are many, many statistics. And according to the Association of Workers' Compensation Boards of Canada, in 2022, there were 993 workplace fatalities recorded in Canada. And among those were 33 young workers aged 15 to 24. As with many days of observance, each has its genesis, and this one was started when two labor activists, Colin Lambert and Ray Sentes, were driving in early April 1983 to a union meeting, and they were stopped by a funeral procession for a firefighter who had been killed in the line of duty. And they were worried that other workers who died because of work didn't receive similar honors. And at this point, they recalled actually how members of the United Steelworkers in Elliott Lake held a Workers' Remembrance Day each year for uranium miners who had succumbed to the exposures of their job. And what they did was they sought endorsements from union officials for the idea to hold a National Day of Mourning, and the Canadian Union of Public Employees, CUPE, passed a resolution at its convention in 1983, and the Canadian Labour Congress followed suit the next year. As I noted earlier, in 2022, 33 young workers aged 15 to 24 were killed on the job. And in this group, males are twice as likely to be injured as female workers. And the highest rate of injury happens in construction and hospitality industries. I actually have a connection to this. A friend of mine, actually probably the oldest friend that I have, Russ, his brother David was killed in a construction accident. This happened many years ago, and it seems that David was probably the first person I knew, because being my best friend's brother, we saw each other all the time, and he was, I think, the first person I knew who had been killed, let alone killed on the job. Now, due to the education that an observance like this brings out, many young workers now receive additional and special training as to how to protect themselves, both physically on the job and legally, should something happen. Now, regardless of whether you are younger or older, I think it's just paramount that safety be the first idea in your head when being on the job. This can be something very basic, or it can be something very intricate, but if you're not sure of something, or if you're getting a bit older, think twice and just make sure that you're going to be safe. I mean, it's a small thing, but I would always lug boxes back and forth wherever I was out in the job. And these days, I use a cart or a dolly or something. I mean, it's not worth hurting yourself for the job. Now, to move on, unfortunately, this might be the place where I would bring in something perhaps a bit lighter, but unfortunately, this week, we lost one of the voices that I grew up with listening to Hockey Night in Canada over many, many years. And that was the voice of Bob Cole, who passed away at his home in St. John's, Newfoundland, last Wednesday, the 24th of April. Now, through history, I mean, when you're listening to hockey broadcasts, there are many key voices that I recall, and one of them, obviously, when I would listen on radio, was Foster Hewitt. And Bob Cole actually got noticed by just passing through the city of Toronto once and dropping off a tape at Foster Hewitt's radio station. And he began calling NHL games on radio back in 1969, in April of 1969, a playoff game, so probably around this time of year. And he moved to television in 1973. Now, as I said, I mentioned voices. Of course, there was Foster Hewitt. There was Danny Gallivan, who called the games in Montreal. Oh, another voice, he didn't call games, but Roger Doucette, who sang the national anthem at the Montreal Forum. And boy, did I love to hear that voice sing. I didn't hear it nearly enough because the Leafs never, any Saturday night, the Leafs would rarely be playing in Montreal, but every once in a while it would happen and I would get to see it, because we didn't have the hundreds of sports channels, so you didn't get to pick and choose what game you saw. And Bob Cole was honored by the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1996 when he won the Foster Hewitt Memorial Award for outstanding contributions as a hockey broadcaster. In 2016, he was invested as a member of the Order of Canada at a ceremony at Rideau Hall in Ottawa. That's one voice, though, that I'm surely going to miss, and I'll probably see what I can find online to get my fix as the Leafs make their way through the playoffs this year. I want to thank you so much for listening this week. By the time you hear this, we should be over 500 downloads of the podcast, and that's very encouraging for me. You can listen to the podcast by downloading it from podbean.com. That's podbean.com. You can pick it up on iTunes or anywhere you get your podcasts. If you do have any questions or comments about this podcast, or is there something that you want me to talk about, please send me your questions or comments to asiseeit@warpole.ca. That's WHORPOLE.ca. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week. And that's a part of Canada as I See It. It is written and produced by me, James Warpole, and brought to life by the Fireside Chat Club of Canada. Our theme song is Night Owls by Brayden Deal. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at asiseeit@warpole.ca. Join us every Sunday for another episode of Canada as I See It.